Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello, Meg here, and you're listening to Full Time with Meg Linehan, a show all about women's soccer on the Athletic Podcast Network. We have got a 2012 rematch on our hands with the United States and Canada back playing each other in the Olympic semifinals. And I thought, well, who is the best Canadian that I know? And the answer, of course, is Shireen Ahmed, and she is back on today's preview pod here at Full Time. Before we get into it, subscribe at The Athletic for all of our women's soccer coverage and beyond. There's always a deal for you at theathletic.com/full time. All right, Shireen, we are friends. We are mortal enemies, maybe, at least for roughly, you know, 16 hours, whatever time is left between now and the end of this game. First of all, I've decided... So you had Wendy's for lunch today. I actually went to a Montreal bagel spot. So we have traded each other's food in a very interesting dynamic. But then as I was eating this amazing sandwich that I got on a Montreal bagel, I was just like, we could technically call this game the Battle of the Bagels.
We could, but I had French fries and Frosty, so I'm really not sure how this centers around me. But I get yeah. I get what you're saying. I think this is a battle of everything, gastronomic, emotional, everything. This is really, I'm thinking that depending on the result, I feel like the government of Canada needs to decide whether to keep the border shut or not. Like, this is how invested I am in this situation because, Meg, August 6th, 2012, do I need to
take this?
Do you
want to revisit your trauma?
I do want to, and just trigger warning for any of the Canadians listening, because I know y'all are out there, and for the... not so closeted Canadian soccer lovers, Steph Yang. So what I'm going to say is I wrote about this for a piece that I had in The Walrus, which is a literary magazine and a magazine in Canada. So it's about fandom. But let me just take us down this memory lane. The most excruciating moment of my life as a sports fan, you can stop laughing, Meg, was in the summer of 2012. I was watching a women's soccer match between Canada and the United States at the semifinals at the London Olympics. Canadian captain Christine Sinclair had scored a hat trick. And after her third goal, despite the lack of coverage that women's sports receive on television, it felt as if the entire country was brimming with support and pride. It was a riveting gladiator-style rivalry full of physical clashes and thrilling set pieces until the match took a terrible turn. Norwegian official Christina Pedersen called a foul on Canadian goalkeeper Aaron McLeod for holding the ball longer than 6 seconds, tantamount to wasting time. I was stunned. I'd been playing and watching soccer for almost 30 years, and I had never seen that call before. I felt my face flush with anger and my shoulders tense. My children, sitting around me in our living room, were witnessing a sporting injustice the world away. At that point, Canada was winning 3-2. From the awarded free kick for the U.S. team, Pedersen then called a handball penalty against Canada, and U.S. star forward Abby Wambach tied the game. When the U.S. won, almost inevitably, after scoring an extra time, I felt my chest tighten so much that it hurt. And when your heart breaks from frustration and anger, it is a different pain. There was no question that I was proud of the team, but the game was marred by such a bizarre call from an official for whom I will hold a grudge against forever. Fans and columnists alike expressed shock at the call, and even Pia Sundhage, coach of the U.S. team at that time, later said she had never seen the call actually made in a match, let alone such an important one. Canada went on to win a bronze medal, but the events of that match convinced me never to visit Norway, irrespective of how beautiful the fjords are.
What I do find fitting, though, is that the moment of your greatest sports trauma is the reverse of my greatest sports trauma, just in a different sport, because mine is USA Canada, but in women's hockey.
Yeah, but that's not trauma. That's glory.
For you. Right? Like, so we do, like, it is kind of funny, though, that the two sporting events that I think the two of us are most traumatized by are at the hands of the other country in an Olympics with a huge result.
So are you upset about 2010 or 2014? Because we've got
mostly
one gold.
14 was, I don't think I've ever been more upset about a sporting event in my life.
Glorious.
Like that,
glorious.
That to me is. See, so.
But so, that was because Marie-Philippe Poulin is amazing, not because the ref is a terrible
person.
Yeah,
I mean, to be fair, though, right. But also you, like, yes, Abby Wambach obviously trying to, like, prompt that call into being made, but also the referee could ignore it. So fundamentally, like, you're
could
not
she,
really
though?
That.
She was after Tancredi in minute one. Let's Megan Johnson of TSN, a dear colleague, wrote a piece today because all the Canadian sports journalists are out here feeling the most. Memories of London linger as Canada prepares for U.S. and soccer semis. She literally runs down the match from 2012. Tank was being targeted by Peterson.
To be fair, you know, Tancredi had a little bit of a rep, so.
That's why I call her Tank. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is really interesting, though, is, so Steph and I just wrote this whole piece about rivalries, right? And 2012 is arguably one of the best U.S. women's national team games of all time. And I think it would stand no matter what the result is. But to have a 4-3 thriller back and forth, right, go into extra time. But Canada, like, there's been a lot of discourse kind of over the years of, like, is there really a rivalry between USA and Canada? Tomorrow could change that in theory. But as it stands, what I feel like the vague vibe of this is that Mad Men meme where it's like, I don't think about you at all when it comes to the rivalry part, right? Like, USA and Canada see a lot of each other. Mm. Like, we, CONCACAF, all that kind of stuff, right?
Even Algarve, but, we used to, before you did She Believes. Yeah.
Right. Mm. So, but Canada has never really been in that true rival, you know, it's Norway into Brazil into Japan, and then now kind of a couple European nations really trying to vie for that. Sweden, obviously, I think now really does have a solid claim as the front runner. But I mean, to be fair, that could change tomorrow.
I think one of the things is that Canada and U.S. have a rivalry. Yes, I think the most notable one in women's sports is hockey. Mm-hmm. But soccer has been really interesting. And when you look at the iterations of what different teams have looked like, one could argue that, you know, Canada, the United States has always come out stronger. And I mean, Canada does very well in the Olympics, but we don't, it could depend rivalry. You could argue which tournament. So maybe the Women's World Cup, we don't advance. We really don't, like, beyond, you know, quarters. But with the Olympics, we seem to do well. And, you know, from 2016, and we know the U.S. team didn't do great at all. There's a lot of dysfunction and implosion within the team. But Canada managed to hold it together. And I mean, Canada peaks at interesting times. I'm really happy for this team. I see a lot of hope and I see a lot of chemistry. And I also really like this team from a political standpoint, like meaning that they're firm in their beliefs and they're leaders in this country and they're a moral compass. And I love that about them. It makes them more endearing. However, there's also just the raw skill. And it was a matter of, there was, like, you know, the post-Herdman and the Kenneth, like, the whole, it wasn't a smooth transition and it was weird. And then you've got the ever-positive Christine Sinclair just talking about how awesome it is and how dedicated she is. And I mean, sometimes I think about that, like the pressure that she's been under and which we saw when they played Brazil and she lost her pen. I felt like years of pressure had just collapsed her and she was sobbing. And we all cried in our chat group watching that because she literally carries the weight of this country. And she's the most storied player in Canadian soccer history, no question. But what that felt like. And I think that constantly being positive and, you know, she keeps that positivity up for the team and that those goals and everybody loves her. But just the way that was it Becky that was holding her and like yelling at her? Like,
yeah, Janine Becky like legitimately had her by the face.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Christine Sinclair is somebody that's really hard not to love. Like, it's hard not to respect her grit and her humility at the same time. But this isn't only about Sankey. It's not just about her. It's about all of it. It's about what comes next. It's about, you know, for all of us up here, it's weird because our best players play in the NWSL, most of them, Canadian players. Like, there's that, there used to be a brain drain. Now it's the athletic drain that goes down. So that's because we don't have, and last time I was on your show, Megs, we talked about how we don't have a sustainable, mm-hmm. we don't have basketball, women, or hockey league in this country. We have teams that play, like NWSL has a team in Toronto, but we don't have that. So our players don't really have a choice.
MLS has a team in Toronto.
Not for women. Not for women.
No. I know. I'm just saying. Yeah. But there's no NWSL.
No. Yeah. I meant NWHL. Sorry. Did I say NWSL?
Yes. End of it. Yeah.
Sorry. I meant NW. Yeah. I do that all the time. Yeah. I'm confusing them. So the Toronto Six plays here, right?
Right.
But again, right. That's hockey. And, you know, yeah. It would be criminal if we didn't have a hockey team. It would legitimately be criminal. Don't even get me started on the C-Dub. You know how I feel about that. But so for this, it's a little bit more, and I think we always have to worship at the altar of American soccer to a degree because that's where the league is. And that pains me immeasurably to say that. But, you know, Sinky's been in Portland for years, and they love her. And now it's like an extension of Canada, almost, the Pacific Northwest, because she's there. But we need this. We need this. And what I hate about Canadian sport is that I always feel like we're trying to convince those in charge that we deserve this. Like, what else do we need to do here? Like, and so this isn't just about the rivalry with the US. This becomes more personal, and it becomes more political, and that we have to keep reminding them that we are in fact worth it. These women are in fact worth it. We need better here. And, you know, I can always gripe about Canada, you know, obviously, namely for its genocidal history, but also that we still are not doing all of Canada's medals, except for today, André Degrasse came third in the 100 meter. He won bronze. What, 98% of our medals are by women at the Olympics? Like, I mean, André's pulling through with a bronze in the 100 meter, right? Like, so that's legit, but where's all the other mans? Like, where are they? They're getting money in their leagues. That's where they are.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Okay, so what has been your mood between Friday, the advancement in the quarterfinals, to then getting the matchup, right? You know that you're getting the winner of USA Netherlands. So either way, definitely a tough matchup. But Canada-Brazil was also kind of another instant classic, despite being a 0-0 game.
That was hard. It was hard. I was up watching the Pens, but it was hard because we love Marta. We love Formiga. This is their last Olympics, most likely. Like, who they are. Then this picture that I had posted, that went viral of Marta hugging Sinky. And you love that because it's when people, greatness recognizes that greatness. But I was exhausted. Like, the nil-nil, like, I can't with that. Like, I'm like, y'all, please, somebody just score. Can't. Ashley Lawrence just put it in. Can Khadisha not just go up and just put it? Can somebody put it in, please? But it's I know their backs, but I'm just saying that's how desperate I am, right? I'm like, I think it's anywhere, put it in the back
someone,
of the
someone, just
somebody.
Literally anyone on this field, go for it. Steph LeBay, where are you?
Where are you? You know, like, but it was, I remember after that match, I was kind of like, there was a quiet because I hadn't yet processed the possibility. I had put Canada-US in a semi out of my head because I was just like, I don't think I'm emotionally capable of handling this kind of thing. And then I remember I put in our group chat, I went, guys? And then nobody replied to me. I'm like, guys?
We were, to be fair, down here, we were having our own mental. Just Friday morning was a real emotional roller coaster in many, many ways. Yeah. And now by, you know, I got, yesterday was really a full day off for me, which was, I think, really the first full day off. Marjorie and I went for a hike.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, we went out for dinner, so that was good. So now I get kind of like a fresh slate for
tomorrow,
this final week of games. But in terms of what you're hoping for, obviously no referee intervention, right? No. But what else are you kind of hoping for from this USA-Canada game?
I think a refresh in terms of this. I think, I mean, Megan wrote this. Like, we need closure up here. Like, we definitely need some kind of healing that's behind. This is almost a decade old, this match, right? But I think a little bit to add to the discourse in Canada versus US, and as you mentioned earlier in the conversation about whether there really is a rivalry, I think in addition to fighting for respect in our own country, it's like, global respect too. We have a mix of an old and a young team. And I think that coming up in there, like, I would like to see that happen, like to see. And I will say that those who traditionally talk big are a little quieter this time around for the U.S. Women's National Team. A little bit quieter. And
I mean, it is very... I have seen, you know, the comparisons to 2015, right, which was kind of this rough group stage. Like, it did not really – most of the rest of that tournament – like, I was at USA-Germany, the semifinal, which was a very tense game for a very long time, right? Like, Julie then Johnson giving up a penalty kick, right? Like, I mean, that was a very tense match. And then the final – the mood of that final was obviously – so different from the rest of that tournament, which had been very, like, you know, I know a few people like to use the term squeaky bum time. Like, that was the entire rest of that tournament. This one, though, feels very different just because I think there is so much tension of the run-up has had, like, its questionable moments of just, like, are things clicking right now? But then all of the group stage, obviously the Sweden result was big gut check. But then the New Zealand game didn't really feel great either, even with the result. And then the Australia game, I think especially, really did not make people happy.
I mean, I think the one of the things that we see too is the pressure, and from the outside, as an observer who is very immersed in American women's soccer, you know, just from where I sit, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on them. So, like, both of these teams, Canada and the United States, have a lot to prove. The U.S. in sustainability in terms of consistency and beating out that myth that they suck at the Olympics, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, and there's a pride and there's an ego thing here. Because arguably the best team in the world, it's just like you said, not clicking at the moment and let's see what happens, right? With Canada, it's like the same thing. Like, they've got shit to prove. Like, they have to prove to themselves. Like, there's a lot of... I would be surprised if every single vet is not up at 3:30 watching this match tomorrow morning. Like, everybody is. I know that DMAC was like, I can't wait for this, you know? And like, just to, I would love to watch if I wasn't so emotionally invested. Like, I can't begin to tell you what a big deal this is. I haven't even processed. Like, my daughter texted me. She's like, we will be waking up for this match. I'm like, yes. All of us, the entire cat included, need to be there at my disposal for emotional support. The boys, I have three sons, and they're not allowed to talk, but they need to be there. My daughter and I are allowed to comment. I'm going to set some pretty firm ground rules on what I need. This is very firmly about my daughter and me and our...
That's fair.
Live trauma as Canadian footballers. Because it is. It's like, it's one of those things, and like, Canadian sports media rarely agree on anything. We rarely agree. This is one moment in sports where we're all like, nah, fam. That was bad. It was bad, Meg. Bad. It was unjust. And I didn't choose those words lightly. It was, and the one time where Christine Sinclair, as we know, had it out with a rough actor, and so much that Christina Peterson wrote up a report to FIFA to report her. I don't know if it was IOC or was it FIFA who she's, I don't know who you complained to, but you know, later on, Sink was quoted as saying that we felt like it was taken away from us. The result was decided before the game. And I was like, those words, those are fighting words, Meg.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't necessarily, I feel like she is very much like, I will move silently throughout the world and you will know by my actions more than my words. But then when she does decide to talk about things, you pay attention to Christine Sinclair.
Because she doesn't love doing media. And in fact, doing media with her is very painful sometimes. Because you have to like draw, like, I love her pressers because she's clearly like, I do not want to be here. Yeah. Like, mixed zone.
I think, but also now, like, there is kind of this mutual understanding, like, especially for those of us who have been around a while. And if she like kind of knows who you are, and she, there is kind of this wink of like, you know, I don't want to be here. I know that you know that I don't want to be here. So
everybody knows we'll it's the worst kept secret in soccer.
It is deeply enjoyable.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The last time I did press at a game was before 2019, before the Women's World Cup. Canada played Mexico in Toronto. And like she did the, of course she did the presser. And then she's just like, I'm out. Don't even, like, I'm just out. And then, you know, then you've got like Ashley Lawrence and Labe who then spoke, and even Jessie Fleming's being reared, even though she's supposed to be the next Christine Sinclair. They're trying to train her to be more comfortable with media. So she has a couple little words, but then she too ducks out. Like she's not, it's not her thing. But I mean, this is a team that's full of, you know, and I'm not going to say, I don't want to say this out loud because I'm also not ready for the retirement of Christine Sinclair, because that's something else that I don't think I'll be able to be prepped for emotionally. But, you know, like she's, this could be her last Olympics. I would be remiss if I didn't say that Formiga played till 43. So I could be wrong, but I just think that this is something that we need to do for Christine Sinclair. And sometimes I wonder if it affects the team in a way that we center her so much in Canadian women's soccer. But then I realize who she is and what she's done, and I think that's okay. It's probably the only player for whom, and she doesn't even like it. Like she doesn't.
Yeah,
even
she hates it. She hates it. Which I think makes it easier for the team.
Yeah.
Like as an actual team to center her, because they know everything that I think we've ever heard about Christine Sinclair as a leader, obviously, like nothing is about her. Everything is for the team. And so I think that does make it easier for the team to kind of embrace that. Like, if you're not going to hype yourself, we're going to hype you. We want to do this for you. And I think one of the very beautiful but also painful things of this particular Olympics Games is realizing that this is going to be the farewell for a number of players, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that has been something that has been at the forefront, but also I don't know if we're necessarily giving people flowers. Like, I think yes and no, right? But, you know, the fact that Brazil bows out, right? And that is absolutely Formiga's last tournament, is likely Marta's last tournament, right? Mm-hmm. But like, we're losing players now that have been all-time greats that have never quite hit the peak, right? So they have never, like, yes, they maybe have gotten individual awards, especially in the case of Marta, right? But like, you've never seen them, you know, it's kind of like Messi, right? Winning that trophy. Like, you don't get that kind of big cathartic moment where it's like, this is what made it, not necessarily worth it, but like, this is what's going to get this player kind of beyond legend status and into like, no, that like, the legend was accurate. And I think that's been, especially for me, the painful part for Marta is she got all the individual accolades. There has been so much narrative around her as a player. And then it's just always been like, just not enough, just not enough, just not enough.
And I think that speaks to the time that they came into women's football and what it looked like. And it was far more fragmented. And it wasn't, I mean, now you're getting in, you're having players come in. And Lynn Williams' experience is arguably going to be different than someone else's, right? Like Jordan Huidema's is going to be very different. And, you know, the vets versus the youngins. And I mean, in Canada, there's a clear divide. I mean, there's some that are on the border, but like, it's right. pretty clear. Like, I remember I interviewed Janine Becky a couple months ago and, or maybe a year ago now, I can't even remember. I think it was over a year ago, something that they did a campaign for during COVID with a company in Canada, an organization providing masks and face shields and everything, PPR, sorry, for frontline workers. And she was just like, yeah, we do all the social media. Like, we do the TikToks. We don't let them do the TTikToks, meaning like the older crew, right? Yeah. Like, we do all that stuff.
I was just trying to imagine Christine Sinclair on TikTok, yeah. And it is.
And, you know, it's all those things. So there's that break. So the experiences of the younger players. But the interesting thing is that the culture remains of that team. And they're very cognizant, particularly in with reference to Canada. There's very much... You know, and I've said this before, that the way the team has come out and supported Quinn, the way, and we will just be like this, that they've knelt in qualifying matches. They've knelt very, you know, authentically for Black Lives Matter because it's important to them. We have a team that is also diverse. It's not an all-white team. We've had stalwarts on the team like Desiree Scott, like Ashley Lawrence is considered, even though she's not old, she's considered a vet. You know, so I think that's really Nichelle Prince. Like, I mean, we have a team that values that and has those conversations. And so that culture will remain. But, you know, this is a game that has a lot to prove for both sides. You know, and if this goes to a penalty, I don't know if this goes to pens, what I will do. I hope it doesn't go to pens.
I feel like we're getting years taken off our life in this Olympic tournament, like, honestly.
I wear hijab and I'm grateful. Otherwise, y'all would see my gray hair. Because this tournament, especially after the Euros, like, I was done. I'm like, I'm breaking up. And what soccer, I mean, not hockey did to me this year, I'm with all the shenanigans in hockey and how wretched that place is. I was like, you know what? I deserve better. I'm going to open a cat cafe. I'm done sports, Meg. And I may quit tomorrow again. I may never watch soccer again after tomorrow. I don't know what kind of heartfelt, sad essay I'm going to have to pen. I'm preparing. I don't know. It could be one of joy. I have a tweet planned in my head, directed at you maybe.
okay.
And I mean, Steph again, you know.
Steph is really both sides. I don't know. I'm very curious to see how she handles tomorrow. Yeah. So
it'll be interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and even my co-host on Burn It All Down, we are recording tomorrow morning just for some reason, ironically. We always record on the weekend, but the schedules were as such as we couldn't today and or yesterday. And so we're doing it a couple hours after that match. And, you know, Amira tweeted it. She's like, usually I mean, I'm talking spicy to Shireen, but I'm laying low right now. Yeah. Just, we want to cover, like, I'm not even out here bragging because I'm just.
Everybody's nervous. Everybody's nervous.
There's trepidation, Meggers. Like,
the vibes are, the vibes of this tournament across the board have been anxious.
We are all anxious. All of us. Like, I don't have therapy this week, but I feel like I need to text her and have an emergency, because it's a long weekend in Canada as well, right? The civic weekend and the first weekend, first Monday in August is off. So it's a long weekend. So I expect that there'll be a lot of people watching. I would actually like to see the numbers for this, despite it being like a 4 a.m. match. I think there'll be a lot of Canadians up and watching this, because this is, for those that remember, I remember.
All right. Real quick before we go, any quick thoughts from you on the other semifinal, which is Sweden versus Australia?
I did see an update about a bunch of fitness stuff happening. So Australia is going to be losing a bunch of players potentially. So Sweden, you know what? They're just such a what situation. Like, you know, like when we think of Sweden, we think of them to be like, and we shouldn't because like they're reigning Olympic champs, but you're like, where did they come from? They don't necessarily show up strong, but they show up consistently. And as we saw, you know, we can't take them for granted. I think that's what they do. And they're like the dark horse of the tournament.
I mean, I don't know if they're the dark horse. I feel like they are the favorites at this point of the remaining teams. They are, I feel like, very clearly the favorites.
And I'm not doing a Commonwealth thing, but I expected in 2019, I was out there saying I thought Australia would do really, really well, and they didn't. So maybe this is their time. I also think that, like you talked about individual accomplishments, Sam Kerr is one of the best footballers in the world, hands down. But again, her team has not reached that pinnacle. They'll win, like, you know, they'll win, you know, AFC. They'll win, you know, that kind of stuff. But on the world stage. So these are all, it's really complicated. I don't know. I was just like, and I'm trying to write a thesis, Meg. I'm like, it's terrible timing.
Got stuff going on.
But like, yeah. It's like, this is really important. And I really hope that moving forward, people don't discount Olympic tournaments for this, because also the ways in which, I mean, we had, you know, a player from Zambia score two hat tricks. Like, this is really important. And to see players that we might not normally see. And I like this. Do I want the United States women's soccer fans to be a little bit humbled? Because they must be like, Sweden, what? Am I enjoying that? Yes, because your fans are, you might not know this, Meg, but women's soccer fans are a little rowdy.
Just a little. Just a little.
So, yeah. And I hope that everybody's healthy. I hope that the players are healthy and they get the supports they need, because all of the Olympics have been like a complete mess. So I really do hope they get that. And I mean, without saying too much, I hope that I actually just really want Australia to come forward. I think they would be riveting.
It makes a really great story ahead of 2023, right? If they manage to upset Sweden tomorrow, like, whoo, that is a major, major win for that team. And it's a major, major win for the development of women's football in Australia ahead of the 2023 World Cup.
Definitely. And I think that we need to, like, think about what I love about this, in particular the Olympics, is that it lets us look at football in more of a global context, because even the Women's World Cup doesn't do that. We tend to focus on European and North American teams, whereas the Olympics are giving us an opportunity to look wider, to look more globally. And I love that. And, you know, Sweden, I mean, they could just, you know, IKEA is a consistent thing. Their furniture is good. It's solid. Structurally speaking, Sweden is consistent, and they're doing that. You know, lingonberries for everybody, I guess. I don't know.
Lingonberries, one of the few fruits I like. So,
yeah.
Here you go.
Why not? I mean, Meg, if we're not thrilled about whatever happens tomorrow, you and I can get together and have lingonberry jam when we meet in person again, if the borders open, depending on what my conversation.
Yeah, depending on
if whether
you know, if we come up there, if you come down, we'll figure it out, right?
But I mean, if anything, this is just a tale to tell us about how important women's soccer is, and I think that's the greatest takeaway we could have imagined.
All right. Well, that's a perfect place to stop. So until bright and early tomorrow morning in the group chat, we'll just. We'll just keep surviving until then.
Oh, I'll send you a picture of my espresso at 4 a.m.
All right, sounds like a plan. Thanks for coming on to the pod, Shereen.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to our Olympic coverage here at Full Time with Meg Linehan, and thank you to Shereen for taking time out of her Sunday. We will see what the group chat is like tomorrow. You can follow all of our Olympic coverage at The Athletic, and you can support our women's soccer coverage by subscribing at theathletic.com/fulltime. Full Time does not exist without the work and support of senior podcast producer Michael Zimmerman. I'm Meg. Thanks for listening. Steph and I will be back in your feeds tomorrow morning to process the semifinals and our bronze and gold medal matchups.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.